would be in 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'll read verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we do thank you that we can come to you and give praise and worship to you. We do thank you, Father, that we have an advocate with you, even Jesus Christ, our Lord, and that we may come and pray and seek your face, Lord, knowing that you have every good intention for us in our lives, that we might be perfected and matured in righteousness and true faith. And Lord, we pray, even as we look at this passage this morning, that you will bless our hearts and encourage us in these things which you have recorded for us in your inspired word. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this morning is Be Steadfast in Faith. As we recognize that it is a very interesting part of our lives to walk with God, interesting from the standpoint that we are challenged to live by faith and to trust in God, and that there are many aspects to our walk with God that we need to learn even more, perhaps, than we think. As we find in this passage, Peter continues to talk to us concerning himself and of the encouragements against the sufferings and persecutions and of the areas of Christian living for the people that he wrote to. And we find that these are practical areas. They are areas that each of us as well encounter. Many times we have certain trials and sufferings that we go through. Perhaps even there are persecutions of some kind or other that we sometimes face, and that in the area of Christian living, we each of us have our challenges to walk by faith and to trust in God. And then there is our adversary that Peter mentions in this passage, where he mentions that our adversary walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. And we're reminded of the evil one, that is Satan himself. As we might call him the devil, we realize that he is more than just a caricature on a page, but rather he is truly in reality a fallen angel, and that he at one time resided very close to God, but because he lifted himself up with pride, and he did fall from that grace which he had with the Lord, we find that he has now become known as Lucifer, or the devil, or Satan, or Apollyon, or many other names which have been attributed to him. And so we find that our Christian lives are very often wrought with certain difficulties. And Peter gives us a little bit of insight here in this passage concerning how that we might face some of these things. First of all, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humility, then, is not to be beat down, but is to be lifted up. That is, sometimes we think if somebody is living a humble life, then they are somehow a carpet to be tread upon by everyone else. But when we look at the true nature of humility as God would have us to know it, we find that we are to clothe ourselves in humility that God might exalt us in his plan and in his purposes in our Christian living. And so we find that humility defeats worry and anxiety. One of the hymns that we just got through singing spoke about anxiety and worry. And we are to tell it to Jesus. Well, we find that humility defeats anxiety. It defeats worry. And the true humility then is something to be clothed upon that God has given us that we might know our true standing in our Christian living and our true life before God. And then also humility is our best defense against the adversary, the evil one. Why is humility so much a good defense? Because humility is a clothing which God puts upon us. And whatever God puts upon us to be clothed with is a protecting grace that we might resist the evil one. Resist because when we come to God in humility, God is our protector and is our true salvation in the fullest sense of what that means to us. And of course, we find that God is more than willing to minister unto us according to his grace. That as James says in the scripture, if we will draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to us. And so humility accomplishes much in our Christian life. First of all, we find that the lesson of humility must be learned before we can receive any honors from the Lord. Well, as we look here in verse 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, taking that last statement for a moment and just making some emphasis there, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, that exalting of which God gives to us is an honor that God places upon us. Not because it is out of arrogancy or out of pride, no, but because he is doing something in our lives that is according to his plan and purpose. That is, he is clothing us in such a clothing of grace and mercy, a clothing of humility, if you will, that we will see our standing with God much different than we would if we were not clothed with that humility that God gives to us. You see, but we must submit ourselves to the Lord that that might be accomplished. Learning humility is not to beat one down, but to lift one up, as I said. And so the hand of God is mighty, for he is over all things. In verse 6, again, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Of course, this is somewhat of an anthropomorphism, that is, a caricature of God as having a hand, when, in fact, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God does not have a hand, but he does have a hand which extends toward us in the sense that his power and that his might and that his salvation is over his people. And as we know that a hand can bring influence, we find that that influence that God has over us is one that he wants us to be subject to. You see, so as God's mighty hand, as God's influence is over us, through his word and by his spirit, God will then direct us. And we find that as he directs us, he will then clothe us with that humility, that grace and mercy of God, which will best example that life of Christ in us. The Lord is over his people. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10. This passage shows forth then the hand of God, the influence of God, as it were, the power of the Omnipotent One. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall guide the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth, a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as a small dust in the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Well, Isaiah most eloquently speaks of God as that omnipotent, sovereign ruler over all things. That is, his mighty hand and his strong arm is our defense. He influences the nations, and especially he guides his people, that he is a shepherd to his flock, and that he cares for them. Again, when we come back to Peter and read the passage in verse 6, he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." You see, his providing and his influence and his provision in all things and his providence, yea, even his sovereignty, is over us. Shall we not then yield to him and know the influence of his hand and his mighty arm for our own benefit? And so here we find that to resist steadfastly our adversary is to also be clothed upon with the true humility which God gives to us. And in that humility, which God would desires for us to be clothed with, he also will lift us up and exalt us in that relationship that we have with him as those who live righteously and godly in this present evil age. And so we need to become like little children to follow the Lord. And of course, this particular passage is one that has been referred to a number of times in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 18, verse 4, where it says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And there at the last part of the verse, "is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Here is the exaltation. To be great in the kingdom of heaven, one must be clothed with humility. To be great in the kingdom of heaven is to know the true innocency of faith and the true influence of God upon one's life. That even the providence of God over the life of the Christian means that we will live in an exalted and honorable manner that will glorify God as we seek to serve him. Humility teaches us to trust God and to have faith because truly God knows best for our lives. And so this is that sense of which Peter talks about humility. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." We also read in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 14 in verse 11, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." And so we see that the way up is the way down. That is, God does not use humility in our lives to beat us down, but God uses humility in our lives to lift us up, that we might be under his influence. And as we rest under the influence of God, the true power of God, the Spirit of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, all those things which accomplish within our very lives that life of faith and of living, God then lifts us up unto himself as the people of God. In 1 Peter 5:5, he mentions that in the previous verse, he says, "In like manner, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." So here in that practical sense, we find in verse 5, he says, submit yourselves one to the other. The younger among you, learn to submit yourselves to the older among you, the elder among you. And also, don't forget to submit yourselves one to the other. Because in this submission that we will have one to the other, God reveals also his grace among us. And that we find that this submission is one that God is pleased with, that we might honor him. And so family relations are made better when we do not arrogantly or proudly promote ourselves to the exclusion of others, but to consider the other person, their feelings, and their needs. And so in our own personal families, we find that when we show humility in our own personal family life with our wives or our children, our relations, we find that that the family usually gets along better and has a better relationship one with the other. And so in the church family, it is much more ideal that the church family submit one to the other. That is, that they show humility according to the grace of God one to the other, because then we find that the church family also is much more willing to get along and to please God and to honor God. Secondly, humility defeats worry and anxiety. Well, we know what worry and anxiety are. They're kind of like two characteristic emotions that we constantly carry with us. Either we are anxious for something, or we are in worrying about something. And borrowing from the future by worrying over something that hasn't yet perhaps happened. And so worry and anxiety are very popular with most people. But humility defeats those things. How does it defeat worry and anxiety? Because we find that as we are clothed upon with that humility that God gives to us, by his grace and by his mercy, living out in our lives, that the true characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ, that true humbleness of nature and character, we find that we do not worry and we do not become anxious over those things which sometimes pressure in upon us. And you may be saying, well, I've tried that and it doesn't always work. Well, here is one of those things that is kind of like getting up in the morning. You say you put on your shirt, you put on a pair of pants, or you ladies put on a nice blouse and maybe a skirt or a pantsuit or something, and you get dressed in the morning. And you find that, I'm ready for the day, I've got my clothing on, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to go about the usual concourse of my duties. Well, when it comes to spiritual things too, we have to dress ourselves every morning. That is, we have to put on those things that would most please the Lord. And to be clothed in humility is something we will have to learn to put on each day when we get up. We'll have to begin with God in some way, by prayer and by supplication, and or by certain devotion that we might read the scriptures and have a time with the Lord. We'll have to put on that attitude of humility, clothe ourselves upon with that humility by the grace of God and the mercy of God that he would have us to live out for the day. And so, yes, keep humility in your wardrobe. Keep a fresh pair of humility to put upon you. Every day, you can take out of the wardrobe, your spiritual wardrobe, humility, and be clothed upon with it. And God will use that in your life for the day. But then the next day, you will have to do it again, because that is the nature of our relationship with God. We have to resort to him continually for what we need in our walk of faith. To cast your care and anxiety upon the Lord is a sure sign of humility. Well, so you say, well, I put it on this morning, but I don't know really if I'm living a humble and contrite life for the Lord. Well, here is a way to test it. Are you casting your care upon the Lord? Or are you retaining it in your own anxiety and in your own worry? You see, verse what he says in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If humility is truly something that we are to clothe ourselves upon, that is, be clothed with, then we are to remember that we should not then keep that anxiety and worry which continually accompanies us. Because I really don't know too many people that don't have some anxiety and some worry, some sense of anxiousness or some sense of worry about things. And the only way we can be sure that we're clothed upon with that humility is to do what? Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, what does that mean? Well, actually, the word here means to cast in the sense of throw something. In other words, to throw it off, but to give it, in a sense, unto the Lord. And that may seem kind of juvenile in a sense, but you've seen kids and how they will kind of just throw their clothes all over the room. And you go in your bedroom, in their bedroom, and you might find their pair of pants in one corner and their shirt in the other, and just things scattered all about, and they've just kind of cast them away, cast them off. Well, this kind of casting is a little bit different. Here we do this intentionally, not kind of juvenilely. We do this intentionally, but we throw it to the Lord. We cast it upon the Lord. We allow the Lord to take these things as we do clothe ourselves with humility. Now, how does humility do that? But remember the influence that God has over you. Remember the mighty hand of God and the arm of God and how that it resides over us as believers. Well, as we recognize that this influence is upon us, we submit to it. As we submit to it, then that is the casting of the anxiety and care upon the Lord. And so we just need to learn to submit these things unto the Lord. And as we submit them to him, that is the casting of them upon the Lord. We submit ourselves to the Lord, that sense of humility which he then gives in our lives is then to allow him to take that anxiety and care which we have. Casting all your care upon the Lord. Psalm 55:22 seems to be the passage that this has come from. And it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. at Psalm 55:22. That seems to be the place that this particular phrase came from. Whether Peter did that intentionally or not, I'm not sure. But that seems to be the one that is most likely the source for this. Anxiety and worry can be distracting if we do not seek the Lord. Therefore, humility is necessary when trusting in the Lord. Else we are bound to take all that care back on ourselves instead of believing that God will guide us through by faith. So if we're going to cast our care upon the Lord, if we're going to do that, then let us be clothed with humility. Because to be clothed with humility, to realize of the presence of God upon our lives, to realize of His influence over us and His strong hand or arm to protect us, that is to allow Him to take those things which are troubling our hearts, such as anxiety and care. Verse 7 again, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And of course we have the wonderful song in our hymnal, Does Jesus Care? And you might want to just turn there in your hymnal sometime and read that hymn. Many of these hymns are so wonderfully written based upon the scripture themselves, and that particular hymn speaks of casting your anxiety and care upon the Lord. Does Jesus care? He does care. Jesus does care, for He careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. For He careth for you. Cast your care upon the Lord, for He careth for you, you see. And remember, these things are all in support of what He is saying about humility and how we can resist, therefore, the evil one. Thirdly, humility is our best defense against our adversary, the devil. Humility is our best defense against our adversary, the devil. And so verse 8 and 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And so here we find that humility is our best defense against our adversary, the devil. Now, why is that? Because as we are clothed upon with humility, we realize of the residing influence, the providential care, the sovereign grace of God which is upon us. Because He is over even the nations of the world. And He does also care for us. And so as we realize this, then we have given our anxiety and care over to the Lord. And so also through this very means do we find that we resist the evil one. Why? Because what does the evil one do? Well, the evil one seeks to bring temptations and trials into our lives that we might be tempted. But remember, James says that God tempteth no man. We are drawn away of our own lusts and enticed. So God is not the author of evil. God is not the author of sin, but the evil one is. And so let us then remember the tactics of the evil one. The tactics of the evil one is to get us to indulge in our anxiety or to indulge in our worry. Because remember, if we will do that, then we have laid aside our wardrobe of humility. We have not put it upon us, but rather we have just decided we will just go it alone today, and we are quite without the clothing that God wants to have us clothed upon with. And so he says, be careful about that. In verse 8 he says, be sober. The word sober here just means to be serious-minded. Be vigilant. The word vigilant here means to watch, to be watchful. And so here we are as Christians, and we must be sober-minded about this subject matter. That is not some light thing, as it were. It is a true serious matter. And we must be watchful. Why? Because here is the evil one who continues to try to inflict his wounds upon us. And be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Well, of course, the analogy in type is one which is very, it's just quite potent, if you will. It's quite a strong analogy. If you know what a lion is, and if we think of the king of the beast of the jungle, and see how that they walk about roaring, and that they are called king of the jungle in that sense, that they are a fierce creature, we find that we tremble at the thought that Satan is somehow ready to devour us. When we put our thinking in that direction, we tremble about that. And that's his persona, you see. His true characteristic is not the little red devil with a pitchfork. No, rather he is a very subtle, and he is a very sly creature, if you will. And he seeks to scare us into believing that he has more ability than he actually does. By prayer and faith, you can defeat him very quickly. And with one piercing blow of the sword of the Spirit, you thrust a wound into the evil one that will send him running. See, that was the picture that Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress used. When he was under attack by Apollyon, and Apollyon, this winged creature, was about to swoop upon him and to pierce him with the darts of the evil one, what did Christian do? Well, his sword fell from his hand, and it was just an arm's reach away, and he remembered that it was there. And so what did he do? But reached to the side, grabbed his sword, thrust it at Apollyon, and pierced him, that he immediately fled. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, but we need to be watchful. That's what he says. Be sober, be serious-minded, be vigilant, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You see, the evil one is ready to rip the humility off from your back. He is ready to take the clothing off from you, that clothing of mercy and grace which God so willingly clothes you with. And he wants to wound you. He is ready to do that at any moment. And so we must be sober-minded and we must be watchful. And he says in verse 9, Peter says, whom resist steadfast in faith, and we notice the importance of the emphasis upon faith here, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Okay, here is something else that we probably should be aware of. Everybody goes through the same thing. You know, sometimes we think we're kind of unique. My problems are different than everybody else's. Or that, well, nobody else has had this problem that I have. Or I'm kind of unique in this. It seems like I'm just kind of singled out. Well, we know that really isn't the case. Consider the world that is unsaved. They go through all these same afflictions, but remember, Satan has them very soundly in his grip. But he does not have to have you so in his grip, because God has given you something that you might be clothed upon. That humility of God, knowing of the residing presence of God upon your life. And if you will clothe yourself with that which God gives to you, humility, which is also, by the way, very much comprehensively part of that wardrobe which he gives of the righteousness of God, the shield of faith, the breastplate, and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and all of that. All of that comes together in our wardrobe. But humility is a way of saying, I will reside under the influence of God, and I will submit to it, and therefore I will be sober-minded, serious-minded, I will watch, and I will be vigilant, because I know the evil one is ready to devour me, and I will resist him. I will resist him. You see, God wants us to live victorious Christian lives, doesn't he? And each of us must recognize that our relationship to God is important. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1 says this, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Remember, God is over us. God's protecting hand is over us. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Remember that God's mighty arm is our protector, and that he only requires of us to submit to him. And that if we will do that, then we will find that worry and anxiety and those things which are accompanied by Satan in his great design to destroy us will simply melt away and vanish. And we will reside under that sovereign grace of God, that our lives may be truly used of God. And so Peter means, of course, to give that true sense of encouragement to believers. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." The problems that we face are no different than the problems others face. But God has given us a way whereby we can bear these things. And God means for us to be clothed upon with his humility, that we might be exalted in due time. And so let us submit unto the Lord and resist the devil. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for your grace and mercies to us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your protecting care. Thank you for the clothing that you clothe us with. And that if we will but listen to you, Lord, we will find our lives will be truly more victorious, and we will walk in faith and resist the evil one, all to the glory of God. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.